Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, where the cards are fun and the people are just a little bit crazy. This show is brought to you by Guild Launch. Slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. By Doghouse Systems. Choose your weapon with Doghouse Systems. If you're looking for a new PC, you can go to doghousesystems.com and use the coupon code MMOReporter to double your RAM. And by GoDaddy, who will get you a new domain or transfer for only $2.95. Just click on the GoDaddy logo on MMOReporter.com or use the coupon code MMO295. Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast. I am your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I am joined by Adam Clegg.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fantastic. Adam here is my co-host on Mana Screwed, a podcast we do about Magic the Gathering, and he's also a designer on Planetside 2 over at SOE.
This is true.
All right. I am not lying. That is good. We've confirmed that. All right, so before we get into your background, Adam, we start off every episode of Happy Hearthstone with a reason why we're happy this week. I'm going to say I'm happy this week because that new Mage versus Shaman video that came out, it really helped reassure me that there's going to be some depth to the gameplay in Hearthstone. So that's why I'm happy this week. What about you?
I am happy this week because I'm still relevant in the podcast world because you want me to be on your podcast. That is why I'm happy this week.
All right. Well, I'm happy to boost your self-esteem. I'm happy that you're happy, Adam.
Thank you. Which makes me happy.
Yay.
Like, and then again.
It's this wonderful circle of joy and happiness. We should probably be holding hands the rest of this podcast.
This could be the whole podcast.
Just us saying how happy we are?
Reasons why we're happy. Just list them.
I'm so happy. I'm happy that I have a burrito here waiting for me to finish this podcast so I can eat it.
Now I'm unhappy.
Oh.
Because I don't have a burrito.
But I'm going to share this burrito with you, and then I'll be super happy.
Okay.
All right. So today, we're not actually talking about burritos. We're taking a look at the four different game modes announced for Hearthstone so far. And Adam's going to help us break them down, kind of look at how they're going to play, and if we think they're going to be fun. So, I mean, before we get into that, Adam, what's your experience with physical card games?
I have a ton of experience with physical card games. I've played Magic probably most of my life. And I had a really good core group of friends during that time where we all played every trading card game that came out. So we played Pokemon, we played Yu-Gi-Oh!, we played Star Trek, Star Wars. I mean, you name it. All of the card games that were made during that time, even Sailor Moon, we tried them out at least, but we always came back to Magic, so...
Sailor Moon? I didn't even know that was a card game.
Dude, I'm done. I'm done. Can we stop? Yeah, can we stop this podcast? All right.
Yeah. All right, so tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how girly is Sailor Moon as a card game?
It was pretty bad.
Was?
It was, yeah, it was, I only played it with one of my other friends. That was because he was super into Sailor Moon. He was like the friend that was into Sailor Moon, and we're like, cool, man. That's cool.
So you can't...
I guess it's like bronies today, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't ditch him now. You played this game with him, Adam. You were in the trenches of Sailor Moon right alongside him.
I played it. I don't know how to play it anymore, but I distinctly remember having him say, you have to play this with me because I really want to play and I need someone to play with. So I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Did you buy cards or did he buy your cards?
I bought cards.
Okay. Well, all right. See, Adam, this is why I love having you on the show and why I knew when I was looking at, like, okay, I'm going to talk about game modes. Who should I have on? Like, Adam, you just know everything about games, and I love that.
I'm the most interesting card game man in the world.
That is true. And now, you've played a lot of Magic Online as well. I haven't.
Too much. I've played too much Magic Online.
How much money do you think you've spent?
Ooh. Let's pretend that I have only spent around a couple $100s, which would be a complete lie.
It's really depressing.
It's really depressing. I have too much. Way too much.
All right. Well, that's
awesome.
Some
of my money back. Wizards, if Wizards is listening, can I have some of my money back? Because, like, I've spent so much money on your game. just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
No, I've been playing Magic Online since beta.
Okay, now is that best online card game?
No. the best online card game is Free Cell Online.
What?
I've heard of it. No, I'll say it's the most fun online card game.
Because, yeah, obviously there's stuff you'd change about it, but they're really on a lot of options, right?
It seems like they haven't had a lot of support for it in a long time, and they're kind of just running through the motions. Yeah. It looks like an old school poker website from like the late 90s. Yeah, it's I liked it better when it came out actually in the beginning, back in beta or early when it first launched.
Yeah. So Hearthstone's going to be like sensory overload for you, because there's like spell effects everywhere and colors flying over, rainbows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just from the little bit of Happy Heart or Hearthstone that I've seen, it looks like sensory yes. overload.
Good. I've already got one person replacing the game name with the podcast.
Yeah, no. I was like happy. Oh, I love Happy Hearthstone.
Dude, slowly they're just going to be forced to like rename it because everyone will call it Happy Hearthstone.
It's just so easy to say. It just rolls off the tongue.
It does, and it makes you feel better. So the reason, kind of the biggest reason, Adam, that you're like what I consider the leading expert, like within my friend circle, of what make card games fun to play and kind of how they work. I think, and one of the coolest
I think you need more friends.
I do. Apparently, I need more card game friends. But no one else I've talked to does this. It's one of the coolest things I think you do. You make your own rules, and kind of make up your own games with the cards and play them with friends, right?
If I ever get my own card, that's going to be my flavor text. I make my own rules.
I make my own rules. I like it. You have to be like red card or something, or blue.
Well, the story behind this is that when we were younger, we didn't have a bunch of money to spend on cards, so we would just take the collection that we had and we would make up our own games with still following the rules of Magic and the cards themselves, but kind of make up how we got to the eventual game, like how we drafted them or how we built the decks. And then once we had them, once we made the decks, we would then continue to just play the normal game of Magic. But it changed things up. It made it so we didn't have to always buy a bunch of new cards because we were getting bored with our cards that we had.
Yeah. All right. So I want one quick example of what's the coolest like game mode that you made up, or the one you're most proud of, or funniest.
I would say that there's this one game mode where we draft cards together, like you and me are drafting just by our, just two people instead of like a normal draft, which would be like eight people.
Yeah.
And we would draft them face up with two people involved. Magic has a version of this called Rochester drafting, and the pros do it at the really high levels. But basically you open up the pack and you have every card face up and you pick your card and then they pick their card. And you pick your card and they pick their card. So you know what they're drafting. There's no secrets.
Wow, yeah.
But we would do the opposite. I would draft for them and he would draft for me.
So you would try to pick like the worst cards?
We would be trying to give them the worst cards.
So everyone had a five color deck.
Yeah, it was. But there was times where, you know, you would think, oh, well, I'm just going to give him the worst cards. But eventually you got to the good cards. So there's 15 cards in a pack. So you're thinking like, well, if I go first, then that means I get the last card. So you're hoping that. So sometimes you would give like the second best card. And they would give you the, you know, there was some strategy involved still.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. All right. So jumping into Hearthstone, there are four, like kind of technically three game modes. So it seems like they're kind of targeting kind of casual play so far, I think. But Adam, I want to hear your thoughts. So let's jump right into the first mode.
The first mode is versus AI beginner, right?
Yeah. Okay. So this is where I kind of split up one mode into two, because you have beginner AI and expert AI.
Yeah, it seems to be like a common theme among games. Like even in League of Legends, you have bots, beginner bots and expert bots.
Yeah.
But I think this is a cute way to learn how to play the game, but not a very efficient way to get any better.
Yeah.
I mean, you can play bots all you want and get really good at beating them, but that doesn't make you actually better at the game. It makes you more aware and makes you, I guess, concentrate, learn, you know, keeps your focus up and keeps your, like, game card knowledge up, but it doesn't make you any better, in my opinion. It's the same thing with Magic the Gathering, like with Duels of the Planeswalkers. Like, by the time I played Duels of the Planeswalkers, 2012 it was, might have been 2013. I've been playing Magic for so long that I didn't even lose one time throughout the whole AI because my play was so much better than the bots' play, you know, because, like, they're just the people who program the bots have to make sure that it's not so insanely hard that they're just borderline cheating, right? But the bots just make moves that normal humans would just never do.
Yeah, this definitely seems like the mode, like, for casual iPad play. Like, if you're playing on a bus or something, you may have to stop at any time. You know, just jump in here so then you're not, you know, abandoning a game.
Or, like, this would be a good mode to test out different decks, like, just to see if your curve's, you know, good or...
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, just to explain what a curve is, Adam, would you mind explaining that just for people that aren't familiar with it?
It's when a pitcher holds the ball with two hands.
Yeah. Oh, no, too many metaphors.
Tucks it in. Throws... A curve, I don't know how the curve would work in this game, but, like, in Magic, it's like a mana curve. It means that you're accelerating as the game goes on. Your deck is accelerating toward, like, it's like momentum. It's like going in the right direction with each turn, and you're curving out your mana, which means, like, your turn two, you have something that casts for two, and turn three, you have something that casts for three, and on turn four, you either have something that casts for four, or you have two things to cast for two, and on turn five, you have something to cast for five, and it just makes it so every single turn, you're utilizing all of your mana and casting all of your spells. A bad curve would be, like, on turn three, you're still casting two spells, and on two cost spells, and on turn five you're not casting anything.
Yeah, and so, like, yeah, at the basic level, it essentially means that you have cards to play at every turn.
Because it's maximizing your resources.
Yeah, because I know one thing that was really tempting for me when I started playing card games is you look and be like, oh, this card is amazing, I want it in my deck, and you put it on the stack. Hey, this card is amazing too, I want it in my deck, and you put it there. Then you realize you have, like, all six mana plus cost cards, and then you have nothing to do for the first five rounds of the game, and you've lost before you can even play anything.
Yeah, that would be a bad curve.
Yeah, so don't do that. So the other thing I think beginner mode is good for is kind of boosting morale after losing PvP matches. I do this in, like, League of Legends and in WoW as well. Like, if I'm doing PvP and just losing, like, I just want to go stomp somebody. So then you bust out your best deck, pull up beginner AI, do it against, like, whichever hero you dislike the most, like Jaina or Thrall or Garrosh, and just, like, take it to them.
Yeah, I've done that too myself, especially in League of Legends, where I'm just like, I've lost four games in a row and I want to uninstall the game.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go beat up on bots for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Then you just pretend they're real people and be like, yeah, I showed them.
You're, like, talking to them too. You're, like, chatting. Yeah.
GG, noobs.
Yeah. Learn to play. Someone watches too much Twitch.tv streams.
Uninstall. Right.
Uninstall. Yeah, uninstall, noob. You're just projecting. That's what you're doing. You're just projecting to the bots.
Sometimes that's what you got to do. So, all right. So this mode is super casual. The important thing to know is that you do get to choose your deck, and you do get to choose your opponent, which is kind of cool. So if you do want to, like, play against a specific hero, you can do that. Expert mode, kind of the same thing. I think here this will be more than just kind of testing a new deck. I think a lot of people will play versus expert AI just because, you know, if they don't like PvP. Do you think that's true?
I think expert mode is going to fool a lot of players into thinking that the bots are harder for people that are really good and really into the game. But I have a feeling it's still just going to be too easy for people that are serious about PvP. I think expert mode falls into that category again of people that just are playing casually and they just want to play by themselves. And this is like an extra challenge.
Okay.
But it's expert bots, unless the bots are actually cheating, it falls into that same category of usually human strategy outwits the bot strategy.
Yeah. All right. So
That's just still, been my experience.
So you still think this is going to be pretty casual then?
I think so. I think it'll be a nice harder mode for casual players. And anybody who's a hardcore PvP player for this game will try it out and they'll realize that it's just, you know, not helping them at all. They're still winning.
All right. So what do you think the corollary is to other card games for this sort of level? Is this like playing, you know, that guy that, you know, has been playing for a while but just isn't very good?
I guess a lot of people can fall into this category because you can have, well, then again, like if you are really good and you're just losing a lot, you would just go beat up on beginner bots. You know, if you want a challenge, if I want a challenge, I'm going to play PvP. I'm not going to play expert bots. And if I just want to just beat up on bots, I'll just play easy because I don't want it to take a long time. But I think that who knows? You know, I guess I'd have to wait to see until it comes out.
Yeah, see how hard they actually make it.
Yeah, because they could make them really hard, but then I don't know how fun that is if they're just cheating. You know, it's like, oh man, he needs this one card to win the game. Oh, he got the one card. That's fun.
Yeah, that would be so obnoxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially because in this game, you can actually get cards in your hand that aren't in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they could absolutely cheat because there's stuff that's just like add a fireball spell to your hand and it's not take it out of your deck. It just like manifests out of the air. So they could do all sorts of stuff like that. That would be just super annoying. So I doubt they'd do that because like you said, I don't think they're going to make even the challenging level very challenging at first. They'll probably add, you know, maybe harder AI later, but early on people like winning. And if you're constantly losing, people are going to leave the game. And so they want people to win.
That's true. One quick example of games that I think do expert bots well are RTS games, where you want to play with your friend, but you don't want to play 2v2. You want to play 4, or you don't want to play 1v1. You want to play 2v2. So it's you, your friend, and you each have a bot.
Yeah.
And then you'll have expert bots, right? So it's like if you don't want a beginner bot, you want an expert bot. I think that's when expert bots have the greatest meaning, I guess, when you're trying to use them to fill in computer or when you're trying to use them to fill in people.
Yeah.
Then an expert bot is a really good idea to have. When you're just playing 1v1 against bots, I'm not a fan of expert bots.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so in like a co-op setting, they're interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right, there's no co-op announced yet, which is sad, but hopefully we'll get into that in the future. But next mode, this is the core of the game and what they've kind of shown the most, what they've emphasized the most, 1v1 PvP. How this works is you choose your deck, again, just like the other modes. But you don't choose your opponent. You don't choose what class you want to play against. You don't do any of that. You get match made, which is where you just sign up in a queue, and then you wait for the queue to pop, just like if you're queuing for a battleground or dungeon or something like that in WoW. And then it just pops up and says, hey, we found an opponent for you. You hop in. You can see their name, their username, but you can't actually chat with them, which I'm really sad about. Like, you have the emotes that are like, good move, and
yeah, I saw
your
that.
Death is imminent.
Yeah, I saw it was funny that the random opponent is like a wheel, a fortune type spinny thingy, and it looks like you can get people that are like bad, and it tells you if they're bad.
Yeah.
Like it says, like, you've played it, you're playing an average person, or it says, like, you are playing a formidable opponent.
I think that's a joke, because some of those are like your ex.
I didn't see those.
A bunch of them are like jokes, like your ex, or like one of them I don't remember, but it's stuff just like total noob and stuff like that, and then it always lands on your perfect opponent or something. So I think it's just a joke. That would be funny though.
God, that'd be awesome. What if you were really bad, like it goes off your like score, and if you're bad and it's like you're playing a total noob, like,
please be nice. That'd be really funny. Yeah, but in that case it'd be good that there wasn't chat.
but I don't understand why there's no chat.
It's what they did for pet battles in WoW as well. And they said they just don't want people griefing. And they want that so badly that they're willing to sacrifice any benefit the chat gives. They think that the you know, the cons outweigh the pros, which I don't agree with.
Well, maybe they're just like hoping people start using more voice chat. Who knows?
Yeah, but even how would you find the person you're playing with?
Yeah, maybe that comes later. Who knows?
Yeah.
It seems like the industry is trying to get rid of chat, though, trying to move towards a voice only.
Yeah. Here they want anonymity, essentially.
Yeah.
But I agree. Voice chat is probably better than typing chat most of the time. But if you're like on an iPad, I don't have an iPad, so I can't say. I can't imagine you'd want to be doing voice chat while on the iPad, right?
No. Depends on. Well, voice chat is kind of easy if they integrate it the right way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always a fan of voice recognition as far as like levels of how loud you're speaking. I never liked push to talk.
Yeah.
So if it's integrated the right way, I think it could be fun. As long as you can mute people.
Yeah, that is a requirement. It'll be interesting to see like how the emote system works, because you could still be hyper obnoxious, like spamming emotes every second, like your death is imminent, your death is imminent, you're the worst, I'm the best. Like it would get so old.
Yep. Are you saying that there are children who play video games that would be obnoxious?
I'm saying there are people that act like children, whether they're children or not.
Oh, man.
So, corollary to other games, this is like the bread and butter of card games, right? This is just the one-on-one, we both have decks, I've built them, let's play it. It's essentially like sealed decks in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, this is my mode.
Yeah, or I'm sorry, it's like constructed deck. That's what I meant.
Yeah, this is the mode that I'm the most fascinated by.
Really? More than the Forge? You madman.
Wait, I thought we were talking about the Forge.
No, we're talking about 1v1 PvP.
I totally thought we moved on to the next mode.
No, we can't though. All right, so let's close out this one. I think this is going to be the most challenging. This is going to, because this is constructed decks. This is where it's all the cards you've unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're going to have people who have built quote unquote the perfect decks that they think, you know, they've spent all this time unlocking the cards and testing out combos. This is where I think you're going to find the hardest challenge. This is where, you know, the most hardcore players are going to be.
I agree. Yeah. You're going to have people who have finally tuned their deck to a T, playing expert bot after expert bot.
Yes. Leaving bots in their wake everywhere they go. They come to 1v1 PvP.
No, they'll definitely be playing. Well, can you create custom games?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've said that there's going to be ways to play with your friends. Yes.
Because you're not going to. Yeah, that's where you really need to make your best decks. Is you and me both make decks and we just ram the decks into each other for 100 games. And
yeah.
Then you figure out what works and what doesn't.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what you're going to find in that mode for sure.
All right. So the last mode, which Adam and I think both agree, this is the one we're most excited about.
You said sealed. You said sealed.
I know. I said the wrong word. I'm sorry. All right, so this is the sealed format. This is essentially how it works, is you sign up for the Forge, and you have to pay packs to get in. I'm not sure if they said how many. In Magic, it's 3 packs, but it might be different for the Forge. And so you pay packs to play, and then you're presented with 3 cards, and then you choose one, and the other 2 disappear, and that one card goes in your deck. Then you're presented with 3 more, and you choose one, and et cetera, until you've built a whole deck just by making these choices. And then you use that built deck to play against someone else who also had just built their own deck through the Forge. So it's 1v1 PvP. The key here is that it's 3 losses, and you're out. You get to keep the card. All the cards you draft, you get to keep. But once you've lost 3 games, you can't play with that deck anymore.
Hmm. So is the person who's also picking from the same set that you're picking from? Or is it like the same pool of cards? Is it just completely random?
It's totally separate, because the way they said is they wanted the Forge to be the total asynchronous thing where you don't have to be doing it at the same time. You can pick half your deck in the Forge and then log off. And then a week later, come back, pick 3 more cards for the Forge, log off. And then come back 3 weeks, finish your deck, and then queue up. So it's totally separate. It's kind of like...
I see. Yeah, so they didn't want it to be like you're committing the next 3 hours of your life to the Forge.
Yeah, and that's what they said.
You and seven other people have to do.
Yeah, that's what they said they didn't like about the physical card games. It was they loved drafting, but it was such a time commitment. So this is essentially you sign up. Once you build your deck, you enter the tournament, and it's once you lose three games, you're kicked out of the tournament essentially.
And then you lose. Then you can't use those cards anymore. I see.
Yeah, you can use them in Constructed. You get a key card. Yeah, but not in the Forge.
That's very convenient. It's almost extremely convenient.
Yeah. Like, no, it seems convenient. Yeah, it seems really good because it's like even if you only have time to make one choice or something, like that's awesome. Just make one choice, then kind of go back to what you were doing.
See, the old man, like stubborn Magic player in me is like, that's dumb. People should commit the time. Back in my day, I had to commit 3 hours and play it out no matter what happened. But like now, the more I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about if I wanted to do a draft right now, that'd be kind of nice to be able to draft one pack and then go eat dinner and then draft the next pack and then go to work the next day, you know, and think about it, think about what I just drafted. I guess that's part of the strategy, though. When you have to draft all three packs right away, you can't think so long about what you just drafted and what you should change to or what you should try to go for next.
And you've also got the guy next to you, like, nudging you because he wants you to make your choice and pass on the cards. Like,
I'm kind of on the fence about this now. I like that whole aspect. I like the competition of it all, of you not – you have to make your decisions now. And I think the version that I would like is meet in the middle. So draft your Forge right away, and then you can enter the tournament whenever you want, once you have drafted your Forge.
Okay.
Because you're going to get all kinds of threads now of people that are like, I've taken these six cards.
Oh,
let's
talk
about it. What should I take next?
Oh,
okay, this is what I got rid of. Oh, no. Should I disconnect and then call Blizzard and say that I want to redo it? You know, like...
People wouldn't do that, Adam. People would.
Oh my gosh, you have a lot to learn, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't actually thought about that. Yeah, I never thought about the forum posting. That is going to be out of control.
Yeah, it's going to get out of control. So that's what I would have done. I would have made it so you have to draft your Forge. If you sign up for the Forge, you draft your Forge. Because seriously, how long does it take to draft the Forge? It can't take more than 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It has to be less than 40 minutes.
Yeah, but then, they want their time commitments to be like 10, 15 minutes for this.
And that's another key strategy thing, too. It's like deck building, deck construction. That's another whole skill factor. Like, I'm really good at building a deck in 15 minutes. You've seen me build my draft decks.
Oh, yeah.
I can do them super fast. And that's a skill, to be able to build and rebuild and tune your deck faster than your opponent, because you only get, you know, 20 minutes to build your deck.
Yeah. It's a skill, but I'm not sure it's a fun skill. I don't want to belittle
skill.
Yeah, it is. It's like a skill you had to do. Yeah, and I understand why it gives you an edge, so you want to keep it. I still think this is the better way to do it. I think it's going to be more fun. It may not be as challenging. Kind of like in the same way, you know, that like, you know, high level Dota 2 gameplay is more challenging, but I may not have more fun with that.
Yeah, I'm losing my edge, man.
I know.
Getting too old for these. Wily kids getting all this convenience.
I know. Games are too easy to have fun with nowadays.
Back in my day, when I died, I went back to the beginning of the level.
Yeah. The one thing I do like about this is the on-the-fly creativity. Like, even though the choices won't be timed, you still have to make choices kind of as you're progressing, and the value of cards will change based on what you've already drafted. And I just like that. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's very casual.
Yeah. All right, so you think it's casual. Are you happy with these modes? Is this kind of bumming you out? Do you want more modes to play?
I think for a game that's just launching, this is a lot of what's the word I'm thinking of? Versatility, opportunity, and a lot of modes. You get a lot of gameplay here. I like it. I like the fact that they have a limited format, which is like a draft, and they have the PvP standard, and they have the bots. That's a lot of modes for a game that just came out. You know, Magic was out for a long time before they had all these different types of game modes. And then once once the online version came out, all those game modes were already set in stone, so they didn't have to think of anything new.
Yeah.
So I think this is pretty good for a game that is just coming out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm actually impressed that they got a draft mode in by launch. Well, yeah. In theory, we'll have a draft mode in by launch.
What I want to see is I want to see them have tournaments that are like higher level tournaments where you have to do the Forge in one sitting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so many people have to play per day or something.
Dude, that would be so fun to have like an actual tournament where you're like competing and you know that if you win one more game, you'll be the champion of that tournament.
Yeah. And then you get an in-game item for your WoW character.
Yeah, dude, I'd be down with that. That'd be sweet. All right. So other modes we want to see added real fast. The obvious one for me is raids, which is what they have in WoW TCG, where it's co-op versus someone playing a boss deck. And obviously the boss deck in here could be handled by AI. So it'd be like 4v1, which I think would be pretty cool.
That would be cool. Imagine like an expert AI that just has overpowered cards and he's just like wiping people out in one move.
Yeah.
But it's because you have to fight him with so many people. Kind of like how like in Final Fantasy where you come into a fight and the boss can just kill a guy in one hit. And you're like, oh, yeah. Crap. All
and right, you're like, I hope, please target my teammate. Please target my teammate.
Yeah. That was BS, by the way, that if it targeted you, you died, but if your teammate died, you could just keep playing.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Come on now. Anyways, off the rails.
All right, so jumping into the special segment, Adam, I think you know what to do here.
All right, is this the card of the week segment?
It is.
You gotta see the card of the week if you want to pay the troll toll to get into the...
All right, let's go ahead. Cut it right there. A million points to you for the Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference. That is amazing. But we're trying to keep this a family-friendly podcast, so we'll just chop it right there.
That's a family-friendly show if you have family and friends that are all over the age of 18.
Yeah.
What is the name of the card?
All right, so the card is Healing Stream Totem. Do you want to guess what it does?
I guess that it heals your totem's streams.
You're close. It is a totem. So totems are... So the shaman class... So you know how there are classes in the game, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Each class has a special power. The shaman's power is it creates a random totem and puts it on the field. Okay. And one of the options is Healing Stream Totem. It costs 2 mana, I believe, to activate the power. So it's 2 mana cost for the Healing Stream Totem. 0 attack, 2 health. How excited are you about this right now?
This looks like a really bad common life gain.
Yeah.
Magic card.
Yeah. And at the end of each turn, heals 1 wound from all allies. In the right situations, it can be interesting. And in the Mage versus Shaman video, you know, it did get a... I think it healed once. But it does, you know, the Mage has to waste his removal getting rid of the totem.
Yeah, it doesn't cost very much. That's good. If you can get that heal going and working in your favor, like if you have board control, meaning like you don't have to worry about getting attacked a lot and getting all your cards removed, and you can recover from this card, you know, healing your allies, I can see it being good.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd have to actually play the game a lot more.
It definitely feels like one of those cards that will help you when you're winning, but may not, you know, save you if you're losing.
I see.
Yeah. So I still think it's an interesting card. I like the shaman mechanic of, hey, you're going to get a random totem. But this one is going to be tricky because... You know, maybe Earth Totem is a taunt tank or something. So you want that when you have no minions. But this one you want when you have lots of minions. So you just kind of have to hope you get the one you want. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know very much about the game still. So I want to see more cards to kind of compare.
Yeah.
Totems. Show me more totems.
We can probably find them. There are people out there that have done databases with almost all the cards so far, which I don't even know how they've done that, but they have.
Lots of free time.
Yes. All right. So I think that's going to about do it for the show. We have full show notes along with links of all the videos, trailers, information we have about Hearthstone on the blog, www.gamediplomat.com. Just swing by there and click on Hearthstone at the top. Most importantly, though, we'd love to know what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see added. Now we're getting beatboxing. Thank you. No, keep it going.
All right, go. Background.
And what you'd like to see added for future episodes. You can contact me directly on Twitter at jaugustine and Adam, the beatboxer, at
Clager.
If you prefer the electronic mail methods, you can email me at ajosh@outlook.com. And of course, you can leave a comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. You can also join our Google Plus community, where we're talking about Hearthstone all day, every day. Just go to Google Plus and search for Happy Hearthstone. And a big thank you to Lil Race Angel 3, who gave us a 4-star review on iTunes and said, "Good job. Really like the podcast. Keep it up."
Sorry, I didn't know that he had more to say. I just really like the podcast. Keep it up.
No, dude, it's good. Lil Race Angel 3.
Thank you, Little Race Angel 3.
Yeah. Does that mean they died in a race car? I mean, as a child? This could be kind of creepy. It could be haunting us. Yeah, because said sinisterly, "Good job. Really like the podcast. Keep it up." That's a creepy kid right there.
Very ominous 4-star review.
All right, yeah. At least it is 4-star. If it is 0-star sign, then we'd be worried.
Sorry, that was a really, really bad outro.
No, it's good.
I feel really bad now.
No, don't worry, because we've got another outro right here. Thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.